Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's what you need to know. If you're someone who listens now, but you don't listen in the 7 to 7:15 window, you need to, because we're going to send J.J. Watt off in style tomorrow. It's a J.J. Watt Farewell Friday here on Sports Radio 610. What that means to you is that we've got autographed footballs to give away on our show, the midday show, and the afternoon show. J.J. Watt autographed footballs. And if you listen between 7 and 7:15, we're going to give you a code word. Then you listen between 8 and 8:15. This is all tomorrow. We're going to give a cue to call. And if you're caller number 5 with the code word, you're going to win the J.J. Watt football. You can put it right on your mantle next to all of your other J.J. Watt memorabilia.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. J.J. knows the difference between a fracture and a break, which is that there isn't one.
Sean,
I get every now and then, though, I find myself getting gaslit by the text line at times, so I had to double check. Yeah, here's a quote from a doctor. A fracture means the cracking or breaking of a hard object. One is not worse than the other when it comes to breaking bones. A fracture and a break are actually one and the same. There is no difference between these two things.
Take
unquote.
That, 9024 on the text page. Ha-ha. Did you see... Seth, did you see all the blowback that Jane Slater, who's a reporter for the NFL Network, with a heavy focus on Dallas. I believe she's based in the Dallas area. I think we've had her on the show before. She's really good. She got a lot of blowback the other day for doing something. When I saw her do it, I'm like, oh, this is cool that she's doing this. You know, she posted on Twitter, broadcast journalism students, exciting internship opportunity for you. Can you set up well-lit Zoom and Skype calls, record, edit them, and want access to the league's top draft prospects? She said it's not with, I guess, Bobby Bell TX. I guess that's somebody she does work with there. It's not with us, but it's in the DFW area. Unpaid, great experience, inbox me. So she's making people aware of an internship that is an unpaid internship that's great experience. The follow-up tweet just a few minutes later, about an hour later, was... she said, again, it's an opportunity for a performance center that's cool. Sorry, I thought this might benefit someone. You know, she's getting a lot of blowback that she's promoting an unpaid internship. She said, I love how Twitter thinks I'm holding people back by trying to help promote an opportunity to actually move the younger generation forward, an opportunity that likely would not be there because it's not in the budget, but one that could be invaluable, and it's 6 weeks. Ease up, Twitter. Yeah. So in other words, Twitter... whatever segment of Twitter came after her for, like, as if it was her decision to make the internship unpaid. She's promoting an unpaid internship that's going to allow somebody to get some experience under their belt.
Yeah. You know what, Sean? I'm torn on this because, for one, you know, and then what happened after this is all the people got on and started bragging about how they'd grounded out and worked, you know, four jobs while doing an unpaid internship, and that's how they got the deal. Honestly, the capitalist in me doesn't like this, because what it is it's the unpaid internship is a nice little loophole for companies to be able to get people to work for free. Because those interns, it's not the old interns, and a lot of them are like, they're getting actual work out of those people, and they're working for actually $0. So there's a little bit of a loophole there. Now, if you're looking at it from the labor side, I think the big complaint is that there's kids that have to work actual jobs, like, that can't do the unpaid internship all summer because they're working on a dairy farm in the summer because they're helping pay for school. So it's like another example of the kids with privilege having a one up on the kids that actually have to work in the summer.
Yeah.
right? That's a big complaint.
No, that's well, it's certainly one of them. It seemed like there were many different complaints about what she posted. I don't know. I guess my feeling on it, Seth, is that anytime you got to get your foot in the door, there's going to be an investment period, whether that's taking lower pay or whether it's having to do a free internship. And if you feel confident enough in your future that that free internship is going to put you in position to get something, then go take the free internship.
Right, right. Okay, but think about it. Okay, but this is what's always fascinating me, though, Sean. Mm-hmm. So these media companies, they have these internships, and kids are, like, cutting up audio and video and everything. It's doing stuff that otherwise paid people are getting. Because you know who I'm getting upset on behalf of? It's the people that actually do these jobs.
Yeah.
So, like, would you allow this, like, say, at a slaughterhouse? Like, okay, well, no, we've got a summer internship where you're going to come and you're going to slaughter hogs for 10 hours a day, and you're going to learn all the ins and outs of slaughtering hogs, and you're going to be up to your elbows in bloods and you mean I'm just basically going to be doing the work of a normal paid employee? Like, where exactly is – you're screwing over the other employees that would actually be doing that job. Because the company's getting free work out of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm coming at it from a perspective of somebody who is I'm big into networking. You know, I think like you're not going to do a lot of networking chopping up hogs. Whereas we're talking about a business where you're going to get put, to Jane's point, you're going to get put in front of a lot of draft prospects. You're going to get a chance to meet a lot of people. You're going to get a chance to put yourself in a position for advancement or maybe a position with another company. That's kind of
right,
how I look
great.
At it. It's a much more nuanced
that's great
opportunity.
But that's great from the perspective of a kid who is going to take that internship.
Yep.
Versus what about it from the perspective of the person, like the adult that could be doing that work that's displaced from a job because there's somebody else that's going to do it for free.
It's doing it for free. No, that's a fair point. That's a very fair point. I don't know. I guess I feel like the more we're putting talent at the young end of the pool and getting the talent in there in this particular business, broadcasting, the more we're finding ways to get good talent in the door and get their foot in the door in some way. And you get to see people who are really grinding it out for the one, because they you got to like it to do something like that. So you really do get a feel for somebody who enjoys and likes the business. And I think that's an important thing. And two, you get a feeling for people who are go-getters, who are going to get after it, who are going to put in the extra work. I mean, there's no perfect answer to it. I've always just been a big fan of opportunities to get in there. If you're able to do it, getting in there and networking and doing that investment phase of getting your career started, you know?
Yeah. I kind of veer towards these days on screw the man. Why you want to go work for a broadcast company? Start your own podcast and video editing service or something. Get on Fiverr.
That's a fair point. I mean, that's a completely separate point, but that's a fair point.
Let me tell you something, kids. These suits, they don't know what the hell they're doing or talking about, okay? So don't do what Pat McAfee. Now, Pat McAfee had a little bit of a leg up because he was a professional football player with millions of dollars. So, but he did kind of say, screw the man. And there are more, there are more ways to get your foot in the door these days where you can actually not have to rely on gatekeepers as much. I guess what I'm saying is I would encourage people, if they can, to take advantage of those unpaid internship opportunities. But I also think that what's kind of an industry standard is that a lot of when we don't do it, our company, we're not allowed to have unpaid interns. It's that, the company is able to get free labor out of people and get a lot of actual valuable work done by talented young individuals and pay them nothing.
Yeah.
Like, pay them zero. You guys want to talk about a federal minimum wage? How about $0? That's what you'll get. It's that part of it is where I just don't quite get why it's allowed. And that those people are basically competing in the labor pool with other people that are going to have to get paid at least minimum wage.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a good point.
So the college kids kind of are getting a little extra up on the people that have to work for a living.
We're getting texts from people on both sides of it. It's a good argument. I thought internships were all unpaid and part of getting your degree. Yeah, I mean, some are, some aren't. I turned an unpaid internship into a 20-year career. That's awesome. It sounds, Seth, the angle you're coming at it more is not down to the individual, but more just like, man, it's the companies that might be getting over with these unpaid internships.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, I'm saying labor. By all means, take it. Yeah, yeah, a lot of people work their butt off, and you've worked like two jobs while you're also taking an internship. But there's part of me too, Sean, that I always, like, I earned pretty good money from an early age doing really hard work, like mm-hmm. working on people's farms, that I, when people want me to do something for free, I really like to tell them to just go shove it. That's what I say. I say take this job and take this unpaying job and shove it.
That's right.
There's a part of me that just doesn't.
I mean, you guys
like
can't
it.
See me, but
that's right.
Oh,
that's, right. That's what Seth will say. He'll say that was like Seth saying that to a free gift card.
It was. Yeah.
Back it when was. He was a player.
I'm not working for this.
That's right. Seth is so bent on sticking it to the man, he will turn down a free gift card for doing an interview after a game. That's great.
Hey, football's the same way. I mean, like if you want to get into football. So I'm basically straddling the fence here. I'm telling people when you these internships are very valuable. Football's the same way. Like you're going to work for less than minimum wage because you're going to be working 20 hours a day at some of these entry level jobs if you want to prove that you're committed to actually getting the job.
Yeah.
So yeah, by any means necessary, just go ahead and do what it takes.
Yeah. If you've got the
but
means
I'm not,
to
but
take.
But I'm not saying I'm not saying it's humane or right.
It's still like I'll take a step back from the whether it's an internship or not an internship. My general advice to anybody who's in that age group that would look at internships is take every networking opportunity you can. Whether it's a free internship or whether it's alumni groups that are in the area or whether it's business groups that are in the area, my general feeling on any of these things, whether it's a fair thing or not, is independent of the fact that you got to get out and talk to people. If you want to get your foot in the door, go talk to people and make yourself known, make yourself visible. That's how it gets done. That's why I like the free internships. If you're willing to put in the investment, if you're willing to invest the hours at no charge, then just make sure you're doing it in a way where there is a benefit for you at the end, where there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Has the public in the media ever been more thrown off the scent than they were by J.J. Watt's free agency? We'll examine next. Seth, you would have won big money from the Pendergast Sportsbook if I had one back when I posted the prop bet for people. If you remember a couple weeks ago when J.J. Watt became a free agent, and we had no inkling of which teams were among the favorites yet.
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember, I had put up a poll back on February 14th. So this is the day he was released, I believe, because that was Valentine's Day. It was a Friday, I think. And I don't know, whatever. It was around Valentine's Day. And the poll was J.J. Watt's next destination will come from which group? And there's two choices. You could either take the group of Green Bay, Pittsburgh, the two favorites at the time, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay, the two Super Bowl teams. So you get those four teams, or you get the field, which is you get the other 28 teams in the league. 86% of the people who voted, there were 1,500 people who voted, 86% said, well, and keep in mind, this is a day or two after he announced he was leaving. 86% said, well, it's going to be Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or Tampa Bay. It's going to be one of those four. Only 14% at that time said it was going to come from the other 28 teams. You were one of them, Seth. You said it'll be the field. Now, none of us thought it would be Arizona. But just to give you an idea of how Vegas makes money, because I feel like that was a pretty good prop bet. I feel like that was a prop bet Vegas would put out there knowing, man, we're going to pull some suckers in on this one. Not only did the team that he chose come from the field, but the next four teams that are reported to be the teams he was considering, none of them were Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or Tampa Bay. It was Indianapolis, it was Tennessee, it was Cleveland and Buffalo.
Right, right. Which is, I think people fell in love with just this idea, the story of ring chasing before, without JJ ever giving a single indication that he was going to go ring chasing. And you know why? Because JJ's not stupid. And it's stupid in football to think that you're going to ring chase, at least in a given year when there's not a Belichick and a Tom Brady. Like, you choose any one of those teams and you got about a 5% chance that they're going to be the team that wins the Super Bowl. I'll include Kansas City in that. Even Kansas City making it back to the Super Bowl in any given year is far from a guarantee. But also for Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay, first of all, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh both already have really good defenses, and they're focused on trying to re-sign some of their own players that are already on those really good defenses, younger players, you know, like Bud Dupree or Levante David, those guys. So I didn't think that it was realistic they were going to offer him a good deal. You know, then Kansas City, Green Bay, same thing. They've got their own cap constraints and issues to worry about. And I didn't think it made sense that they would be amongst the ones offering JJ competitive offers. And I guess a lot of people thought that, oh, he'll just take minimum to go chase a ring or something. Again, yeah, okay, he's going to give up $12 million a year for a 5% chance at winning a Super Bowl. It's a stupid bet if you're a player doing that.
Yeah, well, it's a fascinating experience into what exactly fans think go through athletes' heads. And it's a fascinating experiment as to just how different the mindset, I'm going to say how different the mindset of fans versus athletes are, but just how unintuned or just how out to lunch we as fans are about you, the players, when it comes to what's important. You know what I mean?
The player.
Because you're right. If you're picking Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, or Tampa Bay, you're making these grand assumptions that J.J. Watt, that the important things to him are a ring, that the important things to him are a great story, right? Like, Green Bay would be a great story. Pittsburgh would be a great story with his brothers. Tampa Bay teaming up with Tom Brady. That'd be a great story that he's there with Gronk and Tom Brady. Ooh. And that money's not important to him. When in fact, we found out that his representation told all the teams that were calling him, market starts at $14 million.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Market starts at $14 million.
And part of that comes down to, you know, for one, you're taking a certain amount of physical pounding. So like, it's like, okay, what is it worth? What is it worth to me to keep playing football after you've already made over $100 million in your career? And two is just the actual commitment that a team is going to make to you. And three, I guess, like, this is nothing that's bad or anything to be embarrassed about. I think three is just like a healthy amount of ego. I think when you're used to being one of the higher paid guys in the league, there's a part of you that doesn't want to take that step backwards or take that step down. And I guess four and kind of attached to that would be you don't want to feel like a team's getting one over you on you or screwing you over by having you take a discount. So, like, all those things. I'm not saying that JJ was affected by any one of those things. I think just veteran players in general go through a whole lot of different things when it comes to just the pay side of it. And then on the other side of it, look, you've got to get an offer from Green Bay, Pittsburgh,
That's right.
Kansas City, or Tampa
That's
Bay.
Right.
Those teams have to be interested. Some of them might not have thought that you were the best fit for their system. Some of them might already have too many aging veterans. You know, Baltimore's got Calais Campbell
right.
on their defensive line. So they might – maybe Baltimore loved JJ, but they would look at their roster and say, yeah, but – we don't want to have two aging veterans on our defensive line.
That makes sense.
That's just playing with fire. It's almost – we have two guys that are over 30 that on your defensive line, then you're almost begging for at least one of them to be dead cap money during the season.
Okay, so along those lines, let me ask you this. Is Arizona playing with fire? Because Chandler Jones is 31 years old and was injured last year, and J.J. Watt is 32 years old and has been injured for – huge chunks of the last 5 years. Are they playing with fire?
I think they are a little bit. I think they're probably taking a calculated risk in hoping that that all works out. I think that JJ, I wonder what the injury analysis is on JJ, because so much of it can be tied back to when he started having his back issues, right?
You know who we need to talk to? Your guy, Pro Football Doc, whose podcast you went on the other day.
Yeah. Because you wonder, if you look at the last two of the last three seasons, he's been healthy, you know, and all three of the last, he finished out all three of the last seasons.
Yep.
He wouldn't have finished out 2 years ago if it weren't not as part of a playoff run. But he did come back from that. So
faster than anybody thought he would, by the way.
I think that probably what Arizona is thinking with JJ is that I bet they don't plan on playing him nearly as many snaps as the Texans did. Mm-hmm. JJ played over 1,000 snaps in two of the last three seasons, and that's not normal. This year, only two defensive linemen played over 1,000 snaps.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know who the other one was, but I'm guessing he wasn't 31 years old. So I think that they'll probably maybe rotate him in a little bit more and try to keep his legs fresher throughout the season.
I wonder if also, Seth, Arizona is going to be one of those teams that's super active for those types of free agents you and I were talking about a little bit earlier in the show. You know, the ones that are going to get thrown out onto the marketplace that are going to get a whole lot less money than they're accustomed to making because of the dynamics of teams getting under the cap and now teams having to fill out a roster and there's just not going to be enough money. So you feel like if you're the Cardinals, hey, man, we'll overspend on J.J. Watt because this is a home run stock. Like if we get, you know, 85% of peak J.J. Watt, he's worth every penny of $16 million. And then, you know, we can get a guy whose ceiling is maybe a 5.5 or a 6 out of 10, but we're getting him for the price of a 3 or a 4 out of a 10. You know, that's how we feel it. As long as we get guys who are capable guys to take some of those snaps away from J.J. Watt, we're not putting scrubs out there. Well, we can probably go get capable guys for far less than capable money, but we got to spend the big money on J.J. Watt because that's the home run stock right there.
Well, but it's just a 2-year deal. I mean, this deal makes sense for both sides because J.J. is an aging player. Who knows if he wants to play 3 years from now or 2 years from now? And for the Cardinals, it's not like if it doesn't work out, if they only get one healthy season out of two, it's not a huge loss of money with a huge amount of guaranteed money. And it's a low risk, potentially high reward for the Cardinals. And then J.J., I think with the new TV money coming in, maybe J.J. wants to play 10 more years.
Yeah.
He's going to have access, especially if he stays healthy for 2 years, to potentially a much bigger contract 2 years from now when the cap goes up again.
That could be something. J.J. Watt getting another big deal at age 34. Wow. We're getting a lot of texts from people, Seth, about the unpaid internships. We'll have to read some of these in the next segment. But Seth himself was a presumably unpaid intern. Otherwise, what the hell is college football?
Yeah, let me tell you something about Cornell football. Not a huge revenue sport at Cornell. So, yeah, don't it wasn't like Cornell was making loads of money off of my unpaid back. I took out loans to go to college to play college football,
right,
which was one of the worst things. I had a teammate, Chris Muldowney, who every now and then would, like in the worst part of training camp or whatever, would be like, "Hey guys, remember, you're paying to do this." cuz there's no scholarships there.
Yeah.
It was I used my signing bonus to pay off a good hefty month.
That was smart. That's a good move.
Yeah.
Interns, paid or not, don't exactly do quality work. If your paid employee's work output is threatened by the work of an intern, then they might not need to be working anyways.
This is somebody who doesn't work in a creative field with editing involved and whatnot. Because some of these interns can – these kids and their ability to edit on the fly, like on an iPhone – is ridiculous. The stuff that they can do with a speed and quality unseen until like 3 or 4 years ago. It depends, I guess, on what field you're in. If they're interning for a law clerk or something, they're not taking away any business from a paralegal. But I think media might be a little bit different.
I love this one. Hey man, the go-getters are the ones that need money. The kid whose daddy is rich can do the unpaid internships. Like, the assumption is that kids who come from a rich family, those aren't the go-getters. the rich kids aren't the go-getters. The go-getters are the ones that need money. The kid whose daddy is rich can do the unpaid internships. Well, the rich kids can be go-getters that deserve an internship too. Just because they come from a family with resources doesn't mean they shouldn't be given an opportunity for their go-getting skills to allow them to go get things. You know?
Yeah, I guess part of that is, I mean, there's I don't know. There's a socioeconomic difference in who takes internships, who gets internships, who's capable of doing them, you know. And that's where I guess you boil it down into life's not fair. But we can try to make it a little bit more fair.
Yeah,
I'm surprised there's
certain internships for kids who are underprivileged. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Right.
Yeah. Should that be a paid internship though? Just kids that, like, for everybody that's got a story about, I mean, because you worked in unpaid jobs. Like, when you were a middle-aged man, you worked an unpaid internship while you're also working other jobs and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think what people think of is they think about the rich kid who's, like, smoking weed in the bath break on his internship and doesn't have to work another job or what have you.
Right.
So, like, he's got a leg up on, obviously, all the other people that do have to work. I feel like you've got a leg to stand on because it's not – when you took that – unpaid internship, you were also supporting kids and everything,
right,
like working above and beyond your other three jobs that you had that were paying jobs.
Right, right, right. No, it's a good point. Do we believe this? Oh, let me mention real quick, since we were just talking about J.J. Watt. Tomorrow, J.J. Watt, Farewell Friday here on Sports Radio 610. Be listening between 7 and 7:15. We're going to give you a code word. Then between 8 and 8:15, we're going to ask you to call, and the fifth caller with the code word is going to win an autographed J.J. Watt football. I want to remind you that be listening between 7 and 7:15, and then between 8 and 8:15, once you get that code word, you could win an autographed J.J. Watt football. We're doing it throughout the day tomorrow here on Sports Radio 610. Do we believe this story about Steve Young? It's an interesting story that I call BS on. Next. All right, so Seth, McClain suggested this article yesterday. Well, it's an anecdote in Peter King's Football Morning in America, which I had not read this week yet because I wasn't able to take a vacation day to read it, because it's 8 jillion words every week. It's really good stuff. You've got to be able to pick and choose where you read in that thing. And so Peter King, his Monday column on NBCSports.com, he's got a lengthy chunk of it devoted to Zach Wilson, who may or may not be the Texans quarterback come this time next year. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the Texans trade up to 2 or 3. They might trade up and draft Zach Wilson out of BYU, who's, it seems like, is picking up steam as the number two quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence in this draft. I'll get to Zach Wilson in just a second, but part of Zach Wilson's story is that he spent a lot of time listening to the audiobook by Steve Young, and it's a biographical audiobook called QB, My Life Behind the Spiral, by Steve Young, who's also a BYU quarterback. So, you know, stand to reason that this would be, hey, and he's a Hall of Famer, a guy who had a journey with some adversity along the way. It's the guy whose story I want to listen to, right? Here is a passage that I'm calling BS on right now. Okay.
Okay.
I'm calling BS.
Yeah.
Here it is. The passage from QB, My Life Behind the Spiral. When Young described a friend, Jim Herman, riding in the car with him one day in the 89 season, finding uncashed checks from the 49ers. And let me just back up real quick. This is me talking, not the book. Just to remind people, I'll give you guys the 15-second version of Steve Young's career. Great quarterback at BYU, went to the USFL, made a ton of money at the USFL with the LA Express, but then the league folded. He had been drafted by Tampa Bay, went to Tampa Bay for a few years, and it did not go well. Then he goes to San Francisco, where he's got to compete with Joe Montana for the quarterback position. And obviously, Joe Montana is winning that battle in 1989. They won the Super Bowl in 1989 with Montana under center. But Steve Young was still getting paid a lot of money to be the backup, and I guess the heir apparent to Joe Montana at some point. Here's the anecdote. Young was riding in the car with Jim Herman one day in the 89 season, and Herman was finding uncashed checks from the 49ers. Whoa, Herman said, there's $250,000 here. Young, this is in the book, he said, I said nothing. Herman says, bro, don't you think you should cash these? Young says, I don't cash those things. Herman, what? Why not? Young, I don't feel like I'm earning the money. That night, Young says, I moved the checks to a drawer in my nightstand where I left them for the rest of the season. Okay. Do we believe that Steve Young was leaving checks worth $250,000 just lying around his car like receipts from a gas station?
I think that he was. Yeah.
You believe
that?
Yeah,
there's precedent for that. I've seen guys that just kind of, back when paper paychecks were a thing, the guys would just kind of sometimes lose track of them. Like the team would have to track them down and say, hey, by the way, you didn't, do you know what happened to this cash or this check for $20,000? Because it's kind of a big deal if we
because it's still showing as open in accounting?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I always wondered about that. I'd love to talk. Back in the days of paper checks, I'm guessing managing the payroll for an NFL team was a pain in the ass because some of the higher paid guys, they were living off their checking account. You know, they weren't really paying attention to, their checking account was never getting down below a level where they'd have to even pay attention to anything. So sometimes guys would just forget about their checks. So I'm guessing that, yeah, Steve Young, whose contract, by the way, was always, it was not nearly as much as it was advertised to be with the LA Express.
Right.
There was a whole lot, they acted like, they made it an annuity and stretched the payments out like 50 years and then called it a $90 million contract or something.
I wonder if he's still
something
getting
ridiculous.
Paid. I wonder.
There was a rumor for a while that he was, but I believe that
by who?
The owner had declared bankruptcy at some point. So it wasn't, I don't think he actually got all that money.
And by the way, we're getting close to where it's going to have been 50 years since the USFL. Like, even if he were still getting paid the annuity, it's been 40 years almost. It might have run out at this point.
They had offered him an annuity at some point when the owner was going under bankruptcy proceedings, but he turned it down. So however much money he made, he had some. So I could see that it's not like he was never going to cash them or never going to deposit them. He just maybe – that. This is how I see it. I think that the checks were there and he hadn't deposited them. But when called on it, his answer was, oh, I'm not really earning them. And he made it into a nice big moral thing, where, in fact, he was just being lazy like a lot of people were. Kids, you wouldn't understand this. It used to be such a pain in the ass to have to go deposit checks.
That's true.
It was like, because for a while, Sean, you couldn't even do it, you know, in the ATM machine. You actually had to go see a person to do it. Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. So I'm part right then. Like, whereas I was saying it's BS because I just don't think he left the checks in the car, I can say that it was BS that he was doing it because of some sort of hardo, I'm not earning these things. You think he was doing it because depositing checks and going to the bank to do it was a pain in the ass back in the late 80s.
Yeah, I remember LaManzer Williams, who's a guy I played with in Jacksonville, whose brother was Dan Williams, really good defensive lineman for the Chiefs, who had a big-time contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember LaManzer telling me a story like that when he was in college and he was driving with his brother. He had a few pretty big checks just sitting there on the glove box when he opened it up. So I believe that he had undeposited checks. I don't quite believe that he was doing it out of some moral stand.
Okay.
Because what's he going to do? Like, he's not a moron. He knows that he understands that one day he's going to deposit those checks. Maybe he didn't want to earn interest on it until he was actually the starting quarterback. I don't know.
Well, and I guess leaving a check sitting in the car isn't the same as, like, Ed Reed leaving a bag of cash sitting on the front seat. Like, if someone steals a check, then it would be way more stupid for that person to try to deposit the check than it is to actually leave the check sitting out.
Or even try to cash a check.
Right.
For what's it say? How much were they? Were they $40,000 checks?
Quarter of a million.
Yeah. And nobody's going to be able to walk in and be like, I would like to cash this check, please.
Right. Exactly. Like it's a rebate from their credit card or something like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever as a player, because when you were a player, you were drafted in 97, so the internet wasn't really a thing yet. So I'm guessing you did some things over the phone. Did you ever do the thing where you did touchtone on the phone to listen to your balance? Like right after
your
you
account
got
balance,
ooh,
yeah,
like right after you got your signing bonus. I would imagine that's the most money to that point in your life by far, by like, you know, thousands and thousands of an exponential. That's the most you'd ever had in your account when you deposited your signing bonus. Did you just dial in to listen to see what it sounded like to have a six-figure check in your account? Like as opposed to when you were a college kid, you probably checked it and it was like, you have $78.14. Now you're checking it and you go, you have $186,214, you know, and 86 cents. You know, did you ever do that just to listen to it?
No, I didn't. So
why are you winking at me right now? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm insulted that you had to try to explain that to me four different ways.
I did it for the audience, Seth.
What's that?
I did it for the audience. I was explaining to me. Some of these kids out there don't realize we had to do stuff over touch-tone phones back in the day.
No, I can remember when I got my first big check when I renegotiated a deal. My future wife had just had her... She had impacted wisdom teeth and had a guy kind of go through like a long procedure. So all this stuff came together just as I was at the doctor's office with my wife or at the dentist's office. And then I brought her home and she had like an extreme reaction to anesthesia. So she was knocked out. She was knocked out on the couch for like 24 straight hours as I was sitting. Like I went to the stadium, signed this contract, came back with a big physical check. And I was like hurrying back home because I was kind of worried about my future wife, who may
alive.
Or may not have had a coma. So like, and in my mind, I'm thinking like, how am I going to explain the dead woman as I just got a big paycheck? Like, yep. Moving on, sweetheart. I'm in a new tax bracket now. It's time for a different life.
NFL player's wife passes while player holding $2 million check.
I got to get to the bank.
quickly. Oh, that is funny.
But yeah, so I remember celebrating by just kind of sitting around waiting for her to wake up every now and then to sip some water so I could check her pulse.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure do know how to party. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. The other thing in this Peter King piece about Zach Wilson, that was just an anecdote embedded in the Zach Wilson story where I read it. I'm like, all right, I got to run this by Seth to see if this is real. The parts about Zach Wilson, Seth, these are things we're going to have to start to research a little bit because these are people who might be our quarterback next year. Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, hell, Trevor Lawrence, if you feel like there's a Hail Mary out there where they might make a deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, here's what you need to know from this Peter King story about Zach Wilson, my friend. He was the starting quarterback at BYU when he first showed up on campus. His career was very rocky the first 3 years, to the point where his junior year, he did not have a very good year at all. He was viewed as maybe a day three NFL prospect coming into his senior year. So he, that offseason, would spend 10 hours every weekend driving back and forth from Utah to California to work out with John Beck, former BYU quarterback, former NFL quarterback, former Houston Texan. He was on the Texans in 2012. When COVID hit, Wilson stayed 5 weeks in California. He would DoorDash on Saturday nights just to make money. Hell, he DoorDashed extra on Mother's Day just to buy flowers for his mom, which I feel like Bill O'Brien would have traded Deshaun Watson straight up for the second pick in the draft, hearing these stories about Wilson driving back and forth 10 hours and DoorDashing just to get better at football. That's what he was doing. He was grinding to try to get better, and now he's basically the Joe Burrow of 2020 or 2021.
Because the other concern about Zach Wilson from some people is they question how much of a leader he is and whatnot. There was a Walter Football article that claimed that they were quoting an anonymous scout, which those are always the best, the anonymous scout quotes.
Oh, yeah.
But he said that it claimed, quote, Wilson has character concerns, rich kid who is an entitled brat, uncle owns JetBlue, parents are a pain, not a leader, selfish, and he's a know-it-all. His uncle does own JetBlue, but I think that I think sometimes people are too quick to assume that because somebody in your family is rich that you're like getting a stipend from them all the time. I don't know how his uncle came to own JetBlue, but if he's a self-made guy, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's like got his brother or his sister on this ritzy salary all the time.
Are these same people mad that he did an unpaid internship for 4 years as BYU's quarterback?
Yeah, that's right. He did do that.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder about doing the extra DoorDash so he could buy his mom flowers for Mother's Day. That sounds a little too perfect of a story.
So you think? Do you think that? Okay, which story is more BS? The DoorDashing to make extra money for his mom's flowers, or Steve Young leaving six-figure checks in the car?
I think both of those stories are true, except both of them also have a nice little tweak that make them the perfect story.
Yeah,
which is Zach Wilson. That's Zach Wilson working extra DoorDash hours to buy his mom flowers for Mother's Day. Sounds a little bit like George Washington not lying about chopping down the cherry tree.
Right.
You're like, okay, this is just a little too perfect. And it sounds like, why exactly did that even come up? You know, like how did you even come to tell that part of the story to Peter King?
Yeah.
That makes me skeptical of it. Just like with Steve Young. Look, I knew guys that just forgot to deposit checks a couple weeks in a row. But when called on it, maybe you do come up with a nice lofty explanation for it.
Do you buy that Zach Wilson has watched every Joe Burrow game from 2019 3 or 4 times? Yep.
Yeah, because I think you can do it if you got it all chopped up. Like, did he sit down and study it?
Doesn't
for,
say, yeah.
For 3 or 4 hours? Yeah. I don't know if I buy 3 or 4 times. I think maybe, like, every single game, 3 or 4 times. At that point, I'd say, hey, wait a second. How much actual BYU film were you watching?
Just, yeah, that's a good question. Like,
you
know, hey,
should you not actually be preparing for your own offense?
Right, yeah. Right. From what little we know about Zach Wilson so far, how comfortable would you be if the Texans traded up to number 2 and took Zach Wilson as their future quarterback?
I'd be excited about it. With any of these guys, they've all got these traits.
Sure,
and you just don't know. Like with Pat Mahomes, there were plenty of concerns and questions about Pat Mahomes and how his skills would transfer to the NFL, and obviously it all really worked out. But there were huge potential drawbacks with him, just as there are with Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Any of those top three guys, they've got such incredible traits, like such an incredible either athleticism or throwing ability or the whole package. It's impossible not to get excited about it. Like all three of those guys, was David Carr a more exciting prospect than any of those three guys?
I mean, exciting enough to be the number one pick in the draft, I guess.
Yeah, but I think that was I think Carr was kind of thought of as a guy that was the number one pick overall that year because the Texans really needed to draft the quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would have been a top three, you know, in a
more stacked draft class.
Yeah,
no, that's a fair point. All right, 713-572-4610. 2 months in, is this job what Nick Caserio thought it was going to be as Texans GM? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.